Welcome to Morse Code and Inspector Morse Podcast. I'm your host, Shukri. Today, I look at episode 3 of series 1, Service of All the Dead. I didn't like this episode very much, and I'm going to be honest. You know, I think I went into this thinking I'm going to like every episode, because I do in certain ways, but at the same time, I want to be honest about which episodes I like and which ones I don't, because I think it really enhances and emphasizes the ones that I do like. For this one, it was clear. The plot was convoluted. It was too out there, too confusing. I didn't even know who the murderer was. And I'm sure you may have felt that way. If you didn't, you know, that's okay. But I wasn't a big fan of the plot, and I didn't like Morse's relationship with the character Ruth. I thought he was breaking the rules a little bit too much for my taste. There is a moral code we want with the hero. You know, it's okay that there's shades of gray. Of course, that's nuance. We like that. I like that on Morse code. I want to watch a nuanced character. However, there has to be like a moral compass. And this episode made me want to watch an episode of Lewis or an episode of Poirot, because that was lacking from Morse. And I know it gets better, but I think that they made some mistakes, in my opinion. I know they were basing it off of the book from some of the research I did, but to me, it was lacking. And so I talk about that. I also go back and I talk about series 1, what I liked, what I didn't like about series 1, and what I'm looking forward to in series 2. So thanks for listening to Morse Code. Please leave a rating and share it with a friend. My other podcast, Classics Podcast, it actually is in the top 10% for the most globally shared podcast. And I'm really proud of that, because that means the fans are really supporting it and the listeners are really supporting it by sharing it. I think with the Morse community, we can really share this podcast and have others listen to it, because there's so many fans of Morse. So if you're on those social media pages, please share it just to let people know. I'm actually going to have a guest on this podcast in the next week or so, and we're going to talk about series 1 and just kind of get a rundown. He's a brand new watcher of the series, and if I can get him on the episode, on an episode, it'll be fun to hear what like a younger person who's watching thinks of this classic mystery series. So thanks for listening to Morse Code. Please leave a rating if you can. Thanks for subscribing through Overcast if you're a new subscriber. I appreciate it very much. So thanks for listening. I'll see you after the music. Welcome to Morse Code and Inspector Morse Podcast. I'm your host, Shukri. So, it's time for episode 3 of series 1, Service of All the Dead. And I have to say, I'm going to be a little negative about this one, because I found the story to be convoluted. So I just want to get that out there. Sorry, this is not going to always be a podcast where I'm loving Morse. It typically will be, but this episode, not so much. I had to actually go back online to read plot summaries. So that says something about either me or the story, one or the other. I also noticed that the end of the episode is focused on Morse summarizing the details of the case in a very Hercule Poirot-like way. My guess is the writers understood at some point how confusing this was getting, because it doesn't fit the Morse style, if you know what I mean. So I just want to say that. Now I'll get into the plot summary. It is kind of a confusing summary, but I'll try to summarize it in a very clear way. So you have a man who's killed in the very beginning of the show, the very first scene. It's an intimate church service, and we think it's a guy named Harry Josephs who is the victim. But as the story progresses, 5 people at that service are also killed. It turns out that Harry Josephs is the actual criminal, and he ends up just being this assassin who just goes around taking out different people, his wife, the priest's brother, the man his wife's having an affair with. And so you kind of get the point. There's a lot of, it's all based on this Harry Josephs character, really. And so it's a little confusing, because he shows up at the end and we're not really sure who he is, but that's the story. And, I'm going to probably go back and watch it again just to see how they execute it again. But again, I didn't like it very much. I'm gonna start with this. Before I go into Harry Josephs, to me, this episode was really about Morse with a female character named Ruth. I know it's based on the book, so I want to get that out there. But Morse is very unethical in how he behaves with Ruth. He lies for her. She's involved in the conspiracy. By the way, you know, he's really close with her in an unprofessional way throughout the show. I mean, it's just weird. I just found the whole thing a little odd. Not like the Morse we see later on. Yeah, he makes mistakes in later episodes, but it's nothing like what this episode showed. This episode really made me want to go and watch another detective series like Lewis, where at least you know Inspector Lewis is not going to be doing these things, and you could root for him. And I think that's really important. It's really important to create a detective that we can root for. It's cool to have them as flawed characters, but you don't want to make the mistake of making them too flawed. And I think this episode did that. It made him way too flawed. And I've said this before, when it comes to his relationship with the female characters who he tends to fall in love with, you don't want to make him into a pathetic character. You want to still keep him as a strong character. And I don't think it's good for Morse or for the show for him to kind of do what he did in this episode, which is look really weak and, in my opinion, kind of pathetic. But, you know, it is what it is. And I don't want to make this solely about that, because I did like aspects of this episode. So let me go into something I did like. And I think this has been the strength of season one. And that's the interaction between Max and Morse. We have a quote from Morse in the church, one of the church scenes. There were many church scenes, actually, in this episode. And Morse says, "I don't like religious types." And then Max responds with, "Well, that's because you don't have a soul." And it's just a funny exchange. But, you know, more importantly, it gets into a common theme of the episode, which is Morse's discomfort with this type of religiosity, I guess you could say, or this type of church's religiosity. And I honestly don't know the difference between the different churches in England, but my guess is that there was something about the style, the statues, the symbols, that made him very uncomfortable. And it was kind of an intense place with intense imagery, and it's sort of in your face. So I think that gives you some insight into the Morse character. He's a little disturbed by that, but I don't think he dislikes religion, let's say, but he dislikes whatever he was experiencing there. And Lewis, on the other hand, wasn't affected by that. So that was kind of an interesting contrast between Lewis and Morse. I wouldn't say Lewis was interested in it, but he just wasn't as affected by it. Morse was really emotionally affected by what he was experiencing at the church. And I thought that was fascinating. He clearly doesn't like it. But again, you can actually contrast that to episode one, where he's singing in the choir. I'm pretty sure it was a church choir. I may be wrong there, but I think it was. And I think that's interesting, because one bothers him, the other doesn't. And I wonder why. I wonder what you think, because that's kind of something that stood out to me. And it's still series one, so I don't think they forgot about what was in episode one. So it's also interesting because Ruth, the character, his love interest, she's very into that type of environment. And she's also very religious. So she's an interesting match for Morse. Perhaps it shows how irrational his decisions were in this episode, because they're complete opposites, which is definitely clear to the viewer. I don't know. It was clear to me. It's probably clear to you. So there's something irrational, I think, about Morse's behavior throughout the episode. I guess that's maybe a way you could justify the writing of this episode. Now, while the plot was confusing, the actual tone of the episode was different but interesting to me, because it was kind of like a horror film. There was a horror film tone to this, and you don't get that romantic Morse world that we love. It's the world instead of a crazed assassin who's going around this village in this unchecked manner. I wonder how the audience reacted to this, you know, when it first came out, when it was initially released, because looking back from the standpoint of Morse, of Lewis, of Endeavor, it does seem like an outlier. But I may be wrong, but it seems like an outlier. Not too much of an outlier from some of the things that we've seen on Endeavor, but definitely from the Morse and Lewis library. So I just wanted to say that I thought it was a little bit, that horror style was a little different, and the score actually reflected that in many ways. So let me go into my favorite scene of this episode, There was a character, I think I'm getting his name right, Dr. Starkey. Morris, it's a really interesting scene. Morris looks very uncomfortable in this scene. Like he's in this principal's office waiting to be disciplined. He's basically trying to find out about this priest character and the priest's brother because they're both prominent initially. And, the actor who plays Dr. Starkey does a great job of being that quirky Colin Dexter character. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like so far there's always these quirky, really interesting, funny characters who are almost like scene stealers, and you have John Thaw in these scenes. It's hard to steal a scene from him, but you have these really talented actors who play these funny characters, and I just love them. They're always my favorite scenes. They go along with the Max Morse scenes from season one. And there's this thing that Dr. Starkey said. He says, do people still say snazzy? And he's trying to describe how I think the priest's brother dresses as snazzy. And it was funny because, Morris and Lewis don't really know how to respond to him. I just liked the dialogue. It was a great dialogue. They were comparing siblings as students, and that's definitely a teacher move. So I identified with that. Teachers often compare siblings. It's natural, very universal. It's also interesting when he discusses Morse's name because he's talking about Morse from a class standpoint. He says that Morse is like rooted in Morris and it's an Oxford name. So there's that class element, which is very particular to the Oxford or of Inspector Morse. And that's always fun to observe because I think for most of us, we probably don't even know what's going on with Oxford and the different classes and all that sort of thing. So that was cool to see. Now, one element of this story that I jotted down was, and this might seem random, but Ruth on her bike. I'm not sure if this is like something that ages well or if this is just me speaking from California. Now, I am in California. This is my perspective, but it was very different to see this adult riding a bicycle. And it wasn't like a sporty bike. Like here in California, people will ride bikes, but it's more of like, dressing like Lance Armstrong or some cyclist on the Tour de France. And it's kind of like that style. I'm not into that, but some people are. But to see an adult riding around Father Brown style, I don't know, it made the episode feel very old to me. Like, I think that's why I'm bringing it up because there was something dated about it. It just didn't seem to fit our world. So that's one of the few times I was looking at these episodes and thinking, that's kind of old, And I know I was alive during that time, but that just style is something that you wouldn't see. It's just a different world. It did bring up watching Father Brown, but at least Father Brown's in like the 1950s or so. So there's something different about that. Adults casually cruising around in bikes don't usually see that. So on to Morrison Lewis. I enjoyed the scene where they walk up the stairs, and this was a big part of this episode, the stairs. They walk up the stairs and Morris is clearly freaking out, right? Having a major panic attack, which is kind of unique to this episode too. And Lewis is just loving it. He's enjoying the view. There's even a quote from Lewis where he says, like, "What a view. You can nearly see Scotland from here." And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And Morse's response is, "What the hell did I come up here for? Like, why am I up here?" So the question is Morse, is he afraid of heights? Is that always a Morse characteristic? Or is he just out of shape because he's been, drinking too much ale or whatever? Or is it a combination of both? I'm going to go with a combination of both. And I also wonder, is this a common Morse thing? I know he's always out of shape, but is he typically afraid of heights? It's not something I remember that stands out about the Morse character. But again, I'm going to have to watch more episodes to remember exactly what's going on with Morse and heights. So we revisit the same scene, actually, the same setting at the end when Lewis saves Morse from Harry Joseph's. Weird scene because he just sort of pops up and he's the criminal who you're supposed to despise, but it's very confusing. Again, convoluted is the word of this podcast episode. Again, this felt different from the Morse that we're used to. Morse gets into not one, but actually two fighting scenes, and he loses both. Not, surprise, surprise. Morse is not a fighter. And these scenes are not exactly Cobra Kai. You know, you're not going to actually get this like, action scene that looks so smooth and fluid. Morse is just not a fighter. So in some ways, actually, that kind of worked for me because there was something rugged about how they were fighting each other. And I like that Lewis saves Morse. That was kind of cool. That helps build the bond between Lewis and Morse, even though they don't really reference it. But it is a good thing. But then we get a lot of Morse Ruth scenes. And I think this is what put me over the top with this episode. It was just too much. I do want to say that Ruth is a tragic character because of her mother's condition. And again, if you watch this episode, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the expectations that are placed on her are difficult ones. You know, she's taking care of a mother who's an alcoholic, who's suffering from a medical condition. However, she also makes very bad decisions as well in this episode. So she is a nuanced character. You know, they're not making her completely evil, but they're also not making her completely good, which I like about Colin Dexter's writing. He adds nuance, you know, and in today's world, people sometimes we want to make things black and white and to have like a clear good, but I like that Colin Dexter is not afraid to shy away from nuanced characters who are flawed, but you can also sympathize with elements of their life. So definitely she's an interesting character and she's given a lot of time and dialogue, more than you usually get with these supporting actors in a Morse series, because Morse is really the character study in this. And then you get some of Lewis as time progresses, but you don't usually get time spent the way it's spent on Ruth in this episode. So before I go, I want to share my favorite quote of this episode. Ruth is actually telling Morse, well, it actually comes from Ruth. She's telling Morse about American tourists. And, you know, I got interested immediately because I'm an American and I've been an American tourist plenty of times. So she talks about how, you know, there were some American tourists in the church at the time of the crime, and they treat church services as part of old England, like it's Shakespeare at Stratford, you know, all very quaint. That's her quote. And it just made me reflect. You know, I like this quote. It made me reflect on myself as an American. You know, it's really important to be sort of aware of how others are perceiving us, especially when we travel abroad. And I just thought that quote was really powerful. Kind of like these Americans come to our country and they're like sitting in their church service as if it's a tourist attraction, but it's really insulting to us. And it seemed like a very, you know, true thing that people would believe, you know? There is a difference between visiting Shakespeare's hometown and visiting a church that's still in use. And I know, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes about the ugly American traveling overseas. I just connected with the quote. It felt very authentic, and I'm sure people actually do feel that way. You know, I've seen episodes of Foyle's War where they also talk about how the British are viewing Americans overseas after World War II. So it is always important to get that insight because like I said, there is an authenticity to that perspective and a validity in that. So, well, overall, I don't know if you like this or not, but I gave it a 6 out of 10. This episode just made me want to tune into an old episode of Lewis or Poirot, and I have to be honest, I actually watched a little bit of both afterwards. I think I watched, I can't remember the title, The Mind Has Mountains and The Mind Has Mountains. I can't remember, but it's a Lewis episode and it's a really good one from series four. And it made me just miss that because I like the clarity of Lewis. You know, he's more ethical and the stuff Morse was doing at the end of this episode, wow. I was really surprised by it. I didn't like his character too much in this one. And the story itself was just way too convoluted. I mean, I didn't even understand who the murderer was until I really went online to read about it. Like, if I watched this episode in the 1980s, I think I would have been so confused about what I was watching. So I'm not sure what was going on. I would love to try to read like reviews from that time, you know? So I'm looking forward to season two or series two because I remember it feeling more like Morse, and I'm looking forward to that. So that's what I have to say about this episode. Not my favorite, but still, you know, we had great Morse Max scenes. So far, I would rate that as the number one thing of series one, the Morse Max scenes. I also like the development of Lewis and Morse. I like the quirky characters that I've been seeing throughout the series. So those have been all strengths. And you definitely see the Morse character traits, the classical music, the pubs, and then Oxford as an environment. You see that developing during this series one. So those are all positives, I think. The negatives, I would just say episode 3. I actually liked episode 1, even though it didn't feel like Morse to me. Episode 2, probably the strongest in my opinion. And then again, episode 3, not sure what they were going for there. So if you like this podcast, please listen to my other podcast, the Class X podcast. We actually just got an email from Spotify, and it said that the Class X podcast is actually a top 10% most globally shared podcast. So I'm really proud of that. We put in a lot of work into that, me and my buddy John. And a lot of times it's a solo podcast because of time constraints or time restraints, really. John and I live in different states, but sometimes we do podcast together. We talk about American culture. So if you're interested in culture, it's a cool podcast. If you like this podcast, I'm actually going to be trying to connect with someone to discuss a review of series 1. And hopefully we'll be able to get that out in the next week or so. If we don't, I'm going to start series 2. And that should be fun because I know it just becomes more and more like the series of Morse that we know and love. So thanks for listening to Morse Code and Inspector Morse podcast. Please leave a rating. Please leave comments if there's a comment section. I appreciate it. Please share the podcast because that's how my other podcast grew. And I know that that's how Morse Code will grow. And if you're on any of those Morse social media pages, share the podcast. That will help a lot because there's so many people on those pages. So thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.